Radio Prague News.
More than 40 refugees at a detention facility in Drahonice in northwestern Bohemia have gone on hunger strike. The Senate has approved an amendment to the country's asylum law, tightening the conditions under which asylum can be granted. And Prague City Hall wants to ban heavy trucks from the city centre. More than 40 refugees at a detention facility in Drahonice in northwestern Bohemia have gone on hunger strike, the Czech news agency said. Cleric Mikuláš Vymětal, who works with the detainees at Drahonice, said the hunger strikers, almost all of whom are from Iran, had launched the protest over the fact they are being held in a prison facility and because of fears they will be deported to their country of origin. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights recently criticized conditions at Czech detention camps. The Senate approved an amendment to the country's asylum law on Wednesday, tightening the conditions under which asylum can be granted. Under the new legislation, authorities would have the right to reject asylum if the applicant has been convicted of a serious crime or presents a security threat. The bill was approved despite the opposition from Green Party senators, who wanted the legislation to be more favourable towards migrants. On the other hand, the amendment requests the Refugee Facilities Administration to provide migrants released from detention facilities with 400 crowns to cover their travel expenses and food. The legislation has yet to be approved by the president. The Czech Republic will represent Poland's interests at the EU summit on migration in Malta, the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said on Wednesday on his Twitter account, adding that he was asked to do so by his Polish counterpart Eva Kopacz. The outgoing Polish Prime Minister won't be able to attend the summit because it clashes with the first meeting of Poland's new parliament. The two-day meeting in Valletta, which gets underway on Wednesday, should address smuggling of immigrants and set rules for the return of migrants to their country of origin. Prague City Hall wants to ban heavy trucks from the city centre, the Prague councillor in charge of infrastructure, Petr Dolínek, said on Wednesday. Heavy trucks over 12 tonnes won't be allowed on Prague's Inner Ring Road unless they have an exemption issued by the city district authority. Prague City Hall still has to hold talks with the police, which are against the plan. City councillors also plan to establish a low emission zone within the city centre from 2017. The Czech Defence Ministry plans to offer re-qualifying courses to military veterans in state firms related to the ministry, Defence Minister Martin Stropnický said on Wednesday at a press conference on the occasion of Veterans Day. Soldiers who served on foreign missions could work, for instance, as technicians to service military equipment. The ministry has also launched a website with a list of firms offering discounts on their products and services to veterans. The Defence Ministry currently registers 817 World War II veterans and over 12,000 more recent veterans who served on foreign missions over the past 25 years. Over a third of ski slopes in the Czech Republic will increase their prices this season, the Association of Czech Ski Resorts informed on Wednesday. The charges will go up on average by around 4%. Ski slopes have invested over €1 billion in snowmaking equipment and improvement of their infrastructure, the association said. The average price for a one-day ski pass will increase to 560 crowns for adults and 390 crowns for children. The first wine of the season, the so-called St. Martin's wine, goes on sale on Wednesday in the Czech Republic. The Day of St. Martin, which is celebrated in the country on the 11th of November, has become an occasion for winemakers to present their young wines. First bottles of St. Martin were opened at 11 a.m. on Wednesday at events all over the country. In Prague, the main festivities are being held at Náměstí Jiřího z Poděbrad. Over 2 million bottles of St. Martin's wine have been produced this year. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, what next after the coalition governing Prague collapses? Meltdown in the Czech energy sector as minister and regulator trade blows in public. And we look at the shadowy world of the Czech grey economy. All that's coming up in today's program. The coalition of ANO, the Social Democrats and the three coalition governing Prague has definitively collapsed, the Social Democrats said on Tuesday. saying they'd lost faith in the Three Coalition after it voted with the opposition on a policy previously agreed. The strongest party, ANO, as well as other potential partners, will now be looking to strike a new agreement. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Cracks in the coalition at Prague City Hall began to appear earlier and were further widened when four of Prague's 11 councillors were voted out last month. On Tuesday, coalition partners, the Social Democrats, confirmed they had lost trust in their partners, the so-called Three Coalition, including the Green Party, the Christian Democrats, and the Mayor's Group, making clear the year-long agreement was a thing of the past. The Social Democrats charged that it was impossible to rule together when one partner was not reliable. Mayor Adriana Krnáčová of Topo 9 agreed the problem was a loss of trust.
The Three Coalition voted in favour of a motion by the opposition, and we agree that it is not possible to take such a step within a coalition.
Members of the Three Coalition hit back, accusing the stronger members in the municipal government of machinations earlier, which led to the eventual breakup. Three Coalition leader Petr Štěpánek.
When our representative, Matej Stropnický, was voted off of the council, we said then that the coalition was dead. The Social Democrats began moves even earlier to dismantle it.
The coalition still has at least a few weeks more of shelf life before a new one is agreed, not least because councillors have to agree on the city budget. That said, talks between potential partners have already begun. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, the national leader of the Social Democratic Party, outlined how he saw the situation and the party's next step.
The Social Democrats, through compromise, tried until the last minute to keep the Prague coalition together. Now the party is reaching out to ANO, who have the strongest group as well as the mayorship. We are ready to communicate with ANO.
No future coalition will be possible without the largest players, so eventually a deal will be struck with some of the smaller parties in the city assembly. ANO, however, refuses to deal with centre-right opposition party Topo 9, but made clear it was ready to hold talks with others.
That report was by Jan Wellinger. Relations at the top of the Czech administration dealing with energy policy appear to have gone into meltdown. The situation is so bad that the Minister of Industry and Trade and the head of the country's independent energy regulator are trading verbal blows in public over the internet over procedures for clearing billions of crowns in state support for renewables. Chris Johnstone has the story.
Relations between Czech Minister of Industry and Trade, Jan Mládek, and the head of the country's Energy Regulatory Office, the independent regulator created at the demand of the European Union, have not been too cosy recently. The fact that the minister was one of the main backers of moves to hoist a board or council with substantial new responsibilities to curb the power of the head of the regulator, Alena Vitáškova, is perhaps one factor in play. Now the two have clashed over who's at fault for a possible threat to a significant stake of the 42 billion crowns in Czech support next year for renewables and other energy producers. Alena Vitáškova hit back on the regulator's own web pages, accusing Minister Mládek of wrongly trying to put the blame for the threatened disorder in the energy sector on the regulator and defending herself against charges of lack of knowledge of the energy sector and of its legal framework. Those charges were made by none other than the minister himself. On Wednesday, the Czech daily Lidové noviny reported that Minister Mládek is now seeking a meeting with the Czech head of state, President Miloš Zeman, in which he will seek to pave the way for Alena Vitáškova to be sacked. The ministry's press service and the minister himself were not immediately available for comment. Spokesman for the Czech energy regulator, Jiří Chvojka, explained how the latest battle over renewable support, which was regularly paid in the past, has blown up. And he says that the regulator is just following orders from the Ministry of Industry and Trade.
This year the situation has changed. First, in March, the Ministry of Industry and Trade published a letter to all members of parliament that the support was wrongly established in the past and that there is overcompensation of the renewables, which was a very strict and very breakthrough decision. The second thing that happened was that in the end of October, the Ministry of Industry and Trade has send us a letter stating that we should not write out support in our price decision for the sources that do not have the positive confirmation of the European Commission.
Meanwhile, the position of Alena Vitashkova has been cast into question by the new civil service law, which declares that no one facing criminal procedures can occupy top posts. Vitashkova faces court procedures over clearance for solar power facilities, which allegedly allowed them to earn extra millions of crowns. Jiří Chvojka says the ministry has promised to clear up the situation.
Thank you for that report, Chris Johnstone. Now, at one time, it's estimated that post-Velvet Revolution Czechs had at least two jobs and probably declared only a small fraction of their earnings to the taxman. Times have moved on, but how big is the grey or shadow economy in the Czech Republic and marketplace right now? And what steps should be framed to counter it? A recent report suggested some answers to both those questions, and they're now the subject of this week's Marketplace with Chris Johnstone.
The Centre for Economic and Market Analysis, CETA, according to its Czech acronym, is a new kid on the block of Czech think tanks and economic analysts and experts. And with the self-declared mission to shed light on parts of the Czech economy and questions that normally get little attention, it has come out with its first report on the size and trends in the Czech grey or shadow economy. Determining the size of the shadow economy is perhaps a bit more precise than saying how long is a piece of string, but it is nonetheless clearly a fraught business and depends a lot on what definition is used. The CETA headline news is that it sees the undeclared grey or shadow economy in the Czech Republic at 15.3% of the overall economy. Jonáš Rice is an analyst at CETA and one of the principal authors of the shadow economy study, and he explains how that figure was arrived at.
We are actually using a more broad definition of shadow economy. We are including three areas. One is what you would call actual grey economy, which is illegal activity whose proceeds are hidden from the tax authorities. The other part is illegal economy, but for illegal economy we are actually using like more narrower definition. So we don't include prostitution and drugs production, but we are including illegal production of alcohol and illegal production of tobacco, because those are the two topics we look more closely at. And the third part is basically small production in a household sector. So this is like direct sale of agricultural products or maybe taking care of neighbors' children and stuff like that. So those are the areas we include in the definition of the shadow economy. So we are using more broad definition than is usual, actually.
The 15.3% figure, or around €24 billion, might to outsiders look fairly small. According to some estimates, around half of Czech or Czechoslovak economy was in the undeclared grey or shadow zone in the immediate aftermath of the fall of communism in 1989, and even a decade ago, it's believed that the figure stood at around a fifth of the total economy. The 15.3% is higher than the estimates for some Central European countries such as Slovakia, which comes in at 14.5%. And some of the seemingly upstanding Western countries, such as Austria, the Netherlands, Sweden, Luxembourg and Britain, have shadow economy statistics of below 10%. But on the other hand, it's less than Poland, Hungary, Slovenia and all of the Baltic states. And the Czech figure is more or less in the same ballpark as Denmark and Finland. And according to some other measurements, the size of the Czech shadow economy could be even smaller still. CETA analyst Jonáš Rice again.
Actually, that might be also even an overstatement of the actual size, because according to the another method, which uses the Czech Statistical Office, so the Czech shadow economy is actually even lower. They estimate that it should be around 9% of the gross value added. So the 15% may be actually an overstatement, because this is according to another method that is actually good for international comparison, but I would say it's not as accurate when it comes to actual estimate of the Czech economy.
One way of looking at the shadow economy is as the undeclared and untaxed areas of the economy which flourish or contract according to how high local taxes are and how time-consuming and burdensome regulations are. According to this view, the shadow economy is the profit zone created by the incentives to dodge taxes, customs duties, social service payments and the like, combined with the local appreciation by the tax and payment dodgers of the risk they run if they will get caught. As such, the shadow economy, according to Jonas Reiss, is also a good reflection of how the legal economy as well is performing.
We look at different areas of shadow economy, but what they all have in common, that the two most significant factors that can be to which a shadow economy can be attributed to is regulation and it is taxes. So if taxes are too high and if the regulation is badly done, then people are motivated to move into the shadows. So these are the two aspects that each government, not only the Czech one, in each country should focus on, because those are the two main features that are common in all countries, in all aspects of shadow economy.
One of the participants at the CETA press conference was Miroslav Lukeš, the general director of credit card company MasterCard for the Czech and Slovak republics. MasterCard also helped fund the study into the shadow economy. I put it to Mr. Lukeš that card companies such as his had a clear and direct interest in seeing the shadow economy, often based on cash transactions, squeezed as much as possible. He was only too happy to agree.
We are pushing against cash economy. Grey economy is actually connected to cash transactions, and we believe by making transactions cashless, automatically the share of grey economy is reduced. So cashless may be MasterCard, cashless may be also other means of cashless transactions.
MasterCard's Miroslav Lukeš admits that there are obvious charges for using credit and debit cards, though he says they are falling. But he argues that there are costs of using cash as well, even though these are not highlighted so often.
These days, in the 21st century, there are much easier and more secure ways of making transactions. That's why some countries, for example in Scandinavia, are thinking of abolishing cash. And also, cash is not for free. Cash actually bears costs of fraud, costs of losses, costs of social costs that are implicitly borne by the economy. So cash is also not for free.
And MasterCard hopes that such studies as CETA's will help to create a debate in the Czech Republic about the shadow economy, which so far has been lacking, and put the pressure on the government and other stakeholders on how the shadow economy can be squeezed even more. Miroslav Lukeš outlined MasterCard's specific aims as follows.
I would say three areas. One is awareness that grey economy is costly and Czechs should pay taxes, and paying taxes is normal. Secondly, broader discussion about how we can combat the grey economy and how this will actually help us doing business in the Czech Republic. And last but not least, broader support for the current initiatives that are on the table. For example, the sales registration, which we believe is a very efficient way of combating grey economy.
Sales registers are one of the flagship policies of Czech Finance Minister Andrej Babiš. They would force small businesses and independent traders to declare all their transactions. But the move is facing a lot of opposition and is delayed. Miroslav Lukeš says the country should not rest on its laurels and the progress achieved so far.
Luckily, the share of grey economy is declining, so the trend is good. Now, yes, we have the lowest grey economy among the Central European countries, but we should actually aspire to be better than the developed countries of Western Europe. So definitely the benchmarks are much lower. And take into consideration the example of Austria. Austria has one of the lowest grey economy, half of Czech, about 7 or 8%, and still they do introduce certain measures to combat grey economy, such as supporting cashless transactions or supporting cash registers.
Whatever the specific or broader goals, most analysts and economists believe that the fight against the shadow economy is a never-ending battle, and that unlike other battles, the tax dodgers and evaders will never be totally beaten. A shadow economy of a certain size, some analysts say as little as 5%, will always be present. joint author of the CETA study, Jonas Reiss, again.
There can never be only official economy. There will always be some level of unofficial shadow economy, whatever you want to call it. So according to some experts, that could be somewhere between 5 to 10%. But it's really hard to define like the exact threshold because, as I already said, it's already even really difficult to measure it, so to define it, so to say, okay, it's just 5%, it's just 10%, that's impossible to say. But definitely, there will always be some shadow economy present.
That edition of Marketplace was written and presented by Chris Johnstone. If you've got any comments about today's programme here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or even via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.